Cascade Hoops Talk, bringing the world NAIA basketball one podcast at a time. Cascade Hoops Talk, Billy D here. Join us on Twitter, Cascade Hoop Talk. Please, please like and subscribe this podcast. It doesn't sound like much, but it really helps. What a lucky day. Another day with Billy D. I know you got a big grin on your face. Hey, today we're going to have a little bit of fun. This guy we're going to talk to today is a lot of fun. I don't know if there's a contest for this. It should be. The best dressed basketball coach in America. Not the NAI, America. Maybe John Rothstein could take that over. But if there was a best-dressed coach in America, this guy would win it. Of course, you know I'm talking about Jeff Drinkwine at Northwest University. He does dress well. He's also a heck of a nice guy and a very good coach. He coaches at Northwest University, which is in Kirkland, which is a suburb of Seattle, Washington. They play in the Cascade Conference. They're at the very far north end of the Cascade Conference. So if you go from Northwest University down to Southern Oregon, it's about a 9-hour bus ride. If you go from there to Klamath Falls for Oregon Tech, it's about a 9.5-hour bus ride. I think to Caldwell, Idaho, it's, I'm going to guess over 12. But the closest trip they have is Evergreen, which is about 2 hours away. And then a bunch of the trips are in the Salem, Portland area, which are all 4 to 6 hours away, especially when you factor in traffic on I-5. So they and College of Idaho probably have some of the longest bus rides in the country. The other interesting fact about Northwest Eagles is they play in a small gym. And when you very first walk in, the first time when you're naive, you think, oh, this place isn't very big. There's not going to be that many people in here. It's not going to get that loud. But whoever designed this gym, I'm going to ask, ask Coach Drinkwine, but I think it's about 400 people if I had to guess. But I tell you, it's one of the loudest places I've ever watched a basketball game. And the crowd is right up on you. It's one of those places where if you take the ball out on the sideline, you kind of have to wiggle your feet in to get them behind the line. There's no room on the end lines. So the shooting backdrops are just completely, they're not what you're used to. Let's just put it that way. Teams generally shoot poorly in there. It's a small gym. It's a small floor. You have to play a certain style of game in there. I think it's one of their greatest strengths. Of course, they would like to have a bigger gym. Everybody would. But I always say it's one of the toughest places to play in the country. Anyway, enough about that. Coach Drinkwine will join us in just a few minutes. I hope he's wearing something nice. That's all I got to say. Hang on for just a moment, and Coach Drinkwine will be right here. Hey, Billy D, Cascade Hoops Talk, here with Jeff Drinkwine, head coach at Northwest University up in Kirkland, Washington, play in the Cascade Conference. Coach, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Always enjoy it. You know, we were just talking, this will be your fifth year at Northwest University, eighth year in the Cascade Conference. You know, I've seen the conference change a lot over the last 10 years or so. What changes have you seen in the conference?
I think it's changed in a variety of ways. Style of play has changed. When I first came in, there wasn't a lot of teams that got out and ran and had a lot of athleticism, and that was something we did. And then a couple other teams did as well. Warner Pacific was one, ourselves, and then there were, you know, the others that just established and ran a lot of sets and were very effective that way. And then you fast forward, a lot of people started running sets. It became kind of a, you know, people running plays designed for their personnel. And then coaches got out, some people retired and left to other places. And then it seemed like younger people came in, newer, new fresh blood, however you choose to say it. And lot of more athleticism for the conference top to bottom. And now with all the transfers and different things going on, you're seeing it, it's become a transfer league in a lot of ways and very, very competitive. And I think it's probably top to bottom, it's the best it's ever been since I've been in it.
I think you're right about the transfers. You look across the league, there's some pretty impressive transfers coming in. But also, you know, I've followed NAIA ball in the Northwest all my life, and I don't remember this level of talent going to NAIA. You know, a lot of 5A All-State guys, I mean, a lot, that level, 6A All-State. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you just didn't see it. If you got a guy that was all-conference 2 years, it was probably a good get. You know,
right.
Why do you think that NAIA or the Cascade Conference are getting such a higher level of high school player?
I personally think the game itself is just there's so many good players out there and there's so many available and kids want to play. I think that's got a lot to do with it. I think that in my own personal opinion, this last year where a lot of people sat out, and so the senior class of 2021, a lot of kids were probably passed by just for the sheer fact that there wasn't anyone that could go out and actually recruit and watch. And kids didn't want to sit out. They want to play. And so, you know, if you're a player, you want to play and you want to win and you want to have success regardless of level. And I think that really strengthened the NAI as a whole. But just basketball in general, Division III schools are – I'm seeing when I look around in the area, have picked up their recruiting. A lot of good players are at local schools that I know about. It's just I think the game itself has really changed in terms of everybody can play at every level. It really does show that. And kids just want to play, find a place to play and be happy. So it has trickled down. And now that you're one division with NAIA, it's not Division II, I think – you hear kids hear that and that, you know, they still listen. They still look at the four letters on the wall. If it's NCAA or NAIA and you tell them that the Division I, and I think that perks them up. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's made it more competitive.
You know, Coach Drinkwine, last season was a screwed up season all the way around. But the most disturbing thing I heard about the entire season is that you wore just polo shirts to coach. Is this true?
Yes, it is. Well, they were long sleeve half zips, but I had to really, really decide, like, okay, there's nobody there, and I don't want to walk out in my suit, and I'm coaching against the other staff, and they're in sweats or khakis and half zips. So my staff talked me into doing it, go, come on, we got to do it. I'm like, okay, we'll do it. And it's actually kind of nice, but yeah. Yep. That was a one-time thing.
Okay. Well, I was teasing in the lead up on the show. You didn't hear it, but on the lead up of the show, I said that you should be voted the best dressed coach in America, and I mean that.
There's some others out there, trust me.
So the boy, I really got myself distracted with that one. The the other thing I wanted to ask you about is your road trips. I think that, and Justin might disagree with me on this, but I think that you guys in College Idaho have the longest road trips in the league. How far of a trip is it for you to College of Idaho?
It's 8 hours.
Oh, eight. Okay. So yeah. It's longer to Southern Oregon then.
Well, I'm counting the time change, and then you've got the time change as well. But yeah, because we take a 5-hour trip to La Grande, Eastern Oregon, and it's another 2.5 with the time change. So it's a long trip. Yeah, it's probably longer to go to Klamath Falls and Southern. Yeah.
Well, those are. But, I think you've got some of the longest bus trips in the country.
Well, I agree, but I would also say it's top to bottom. Like everyone, for the most part, has to make those trips. I think Eastern Oregon and College of Idaho, when they have to go down to Ashland and Klamath Falls or come all the way over here to play us up in Kirkland and then drive down Olympia, that's a trek. So I don't know if any of the three are easy or if any one is less traveling than the other. Being on a bus is being on the bus and you just make do with it. But yeah, I mean, you just try to, it's one more adjustment you have to make, and And if I think if you sit there and labor in it and let the kids know how long it is and how tough it is, it already sticks that in their minds, where if you just make the best of it and talk about the journey ahead and what you're really going to do and the task at hand, you overlook the long bus ride, and then you do the best you can to prepare.
You know, Coach, we're going to talk about your team this year, but before we start, can you just talk a little bit about your recruiting philosophy, you know, high school kids versus transfers, and what regions you try to recruit from and what kind of kid you're generally looking for?
Well, my number one thing we look for is we want to replace a position that is left. And so I've always said, if we lose a variety of players in one position, we've got to try and get a couple older players to come in. There's still that learning curve, but at least they've played junior college basketball, or there may be transfers. And so the speed of the game and things like that, there's an adjustment that's already been made. And then you probably try to bring in a high school player as well that would play that position. And you hope they can learn from the older players. So by the time they're sophomores and juniors, they can step in and they can be the teacher, so to speak, to the younger guys or the people coming in. That's really my philosophy in terms of what I look like or look at. It's based off personnel and who's leaving. And then the other thing is fit for our program, character and being good teammates and wanting to share the journey, so to speak. I don't really, if a person comes in and says, I want to be an All-American, I want to get to the league and things like that, well, that's great, and those are great goals to have, but they're not going to fit with what we do. We're the other way around. Let's play together as a group. Let's be a united front, and if we do well, let the chips fall where they may, and if you do well and have success with us, those opportunities can happen. So it's those are big things for us in terms of fit and what we're looking for. And then, like I said, I try to emulate a person that's left. And once you get a certain player that you had that had a lot of success, you always go back and look for that same player or similar to. And that's what we go out and look for. Region-wise, obviously we were in the Northwest, and it's kind of a recruiting hotbed. So we try to tend to get as many people to come to our campus from this area. Just they're more familiar. They're not as homesick. It's not as hard of a sell. But if you can get a person further east or down south, we certainly try to do that. But majority, the Northwest and California is where we get our kids. We've had a few from Arizona in the past as well.
Is that an advantage for you, Jeff, because you're right there in, you know, just north of Seattle? You're right in an urban area. Is that an advantage for you recruiting-wise?
I don't know. Not really. That's a tough one, because I look at myself growing up when I was playing, and I look at other players. Everyone always, you know, in media and TV, when everyone always sees what's on TV and always sounds great to go somewhere else. And so a lot of kids, I mean, we've got the University of Washington in our own backyard, yeah. And a lot of kids will turn them down to go somewhere else because it always seems, for whatever reason, image or whatever it may be, better or bigger or whatnot when you're young and impressionable to go away. Now, tradition-wise, if you have a strong tradition and whatnot, I think that helps and kids will come. But I do think with the variety of players, you know, there are quite a few that – you do have a better opportunity to, so if you miss out on one or two, there's two or three others still in your backyard that you can go after. So maybe an advantage in that regard in terms of numbers to look at, but I still do think kids are kids, and it's always, you know, they grow up and they want to go somewhere else. They go yeah. where they want to be. So that's a good question. I'd like to hear what other people think about that.
Well, let's talk about who you have brought in this year. I could be wrong, but I see one senior that's been around, a guy who's had some real success there, Tanner Davis. Pre-COVID, he was a starter, 11 points, 5 rebounds, good shooter, efficient, shoots 55% from the field. And then it looks like Coco Chapman, I'm probably saying his first name wrong, out of Long Beach, California, 5'10 guard. It looks like he delivered pretty well for you in the COVID season, but you know, who else are you looking for to be key this season, Coach?
Well, it's Tanner is back. Obviously he's a veteran and yeah, we're certainly counting on him for leadership in that regard. And we'll definitely count on him. Koa is how you say it, but Koa, will be counted on heavily. Last year, yeah, it was the COVID season. It was kind of nice. And I think a lot of people around the league will say, you basically got an opportunity to let your players, your young players or new players play and get a redshirt out year out of it, but still get games in. And that was probably where Koa, he's going to be a benefactor of that as well, because he had to learn the system, how we do things. And so if he had some struggles along the way or it took him a time to develop, the nice thing about it is he didn't miss a year in terms of eligibility. It didn't hurt us in terms of wins and losses to try and get to the tournament because we didn't have one, because we didn't play in the shortened Cascade Conference season. So that was good. And so I think it's going to be now he's back with another year and under his belt. So he'll be counted on a lot. And then really it's just going to be everybody else stepping in and how are we going to work as a collective group and share the ball. And it's like I've told them before, my best teams for the most part, there's been even scoring and even distribution, rebounding by committee. And that's how we've had the most success. If we count on just one person to get it done, I don't think we can be successful. So really to answer your question, we're counting on everybody. And, I'm just trying to think of some other people that have surprised us and stepped up and done some things that we're looking forward to having out there. And really no one really strikes me in terms of that's the guy, but I would say top to bottom, everybody, and I've told our players this too, every one of you at one given time is going to have to have a moment for us to be successful.
Well, first I apologize to Koa for mispronouncing his first name and I won't do that again. Just so everybody understands, Coach Drinkwine, in the middle of October, his roster always looks like a jigsaw puzzle upside down on the table. And then you think, oh, okay. And then you go in there on November 5th and they beat you. So just take that for what it's worth. What are your primary concerns this year as you enter fifth season there? What are you excited about and what concerns do you have this season?
Well, excited that we're actually playing a full season with the opportunity to, you know, go to the conference tournament, an opportunity to try and win the conference, an opportunity to try to get to the national tournament. So that's the exciting thing. And you can tell the players themselves, they have just an extra beat to them, you know, a little extra step in their game, and they're more excited as well because they have a chance to, they know they're competing for something. So that's exciting. I think the fact that if you do get the opportunity to get through this league and get to the NAIA tournament, it's the way they're doing it now with regionals and stuff. It'll be interesting to see how that's going to pan out, because I like the old format of 32 teams get to go to the tournament and you're all there under one roof. I think that was pretty special. So it's going to be interesting and exciting at the same time to see how this new regional format plays out. Concerns, the league, in all the years I've been here, I do believe it's the toughest it's ever been, top to bottom. And so you never want to ever overlook an opponent. I think you always respect every opponent you play, but and for sure this year there is not one night you can say, hey, we can play bad and probably still get out of here with a win. You just can't. The league is that good. I truly believe that. So that worries me a little. And then, like I talked to you about in the past, our health, staying healthy. I mean, one year we finished with six, and the year before COVID we finished with four, and it's a tough way to go. So we've got to stay healthy. We have to stay healthy if we want to be successful.
Well, Coach, I'm really looking forward to, I tell everybody this, I'm just looking forward to basketball, period. I look forward to getting up there to Northwest and getting to talk to you again and watching another game in that cracker box up there. I say it's the toughest place in the league to play. And then remember too, you gotta travel to Klamath Falls. I'll probably bump into you there.
Oh yes, of course.
But definitely wish you luck as the season kicks off. When do you play your first game? I should have looked at this, but I didn't. When do you start?
Well, we have a controlled scrimmage here coming up on the 30th, and then we open up the second week of November against Linfield, and we play the Seattle Mountaineers in an exhibition as well.
Okay, yeah,
November,
I see that now.
November 8th. Yeah, so that will be good for us. And I know they're playing, if they haven't already, they're going to play a lot of Cascade Conference teams as well. So this will give us an opportunity to see where we stand based off of how they do with everyone when they play them as well. I do hear, though, from time to time, based on the travel and whatnot, they don't always get their full team to go when they play teams. Right. So, but it'll still, it'll be nice because they'll be physical. They're older and they know how to play. And so that's always good for us. And, you know, we do have some young guys that they're going to learn. Like I said, they've got to learn the speed of the game, and who better than to do that to than people that have played. And it doesn't count whether you win or lose. So it's an opportunity for us to grow. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. The Seattle Mountaineers, they're always very skilled. And Linfield, they're a NC2A D3 program, but they always field a good team. And those games are at home for you. So that'll be good for your guys to get their legs under them, their feet under them, play in front of a crowd before you take off for Great Falls. I'm looking at your schedule now, Montana State, Northern, and University of Providence. When you get back from that trip, you're definitely going to know where you stand, and that's just before conference.
Absolutely. It's like I said, when we put it together, we didn't know how we were going to be. We didn't know what we were going to do in terms of recruiting. But with the new way that the NAI is trying to determine who's going to go to the tournament or not, you better be able to be battle tested and be able to have demonstrated that through your schedule. So we didn't do ourselves any favors in terms of that. I know Linfield's picked to be the top two. From a couple of different coaches I've talked to, they're either number one or number two preseason favorites in their conference, and so that's going to be a great challenge for us. They do a really good job, like you said, the Seattle Mountaineers, a bunch of former players. Going to Montana, regardless, just that trip alone, yeah, it's going to be a big experience for us. But two, we're playing two different types of teams. Providence runs and presses the whole game, and then you go play Montana State Northern, and Montana State Northern, they run a lot of sets and wear you out because you got to defend with them. And then, you know, they distort the game with the shot clock. So we're going to get two different types of styles of play, too. And it's going to be good for us. It really is. Then we come home we'll play Evergreen that Tuesday. And then Thanksgiving weekend, we play Texas Permian Basin. And they were going to be a top 16 team in Division II, NCAA Division II. Their coach left to become an assistant at Division I Pacific, and the guy coming in came from Arkansas Monticello. Yeah. And they were going to be, last year, I think they were in the top eight when the polls came out, and he brought half his players with him. So that's going to be another one for us that was going to be a great challenge. So,
and those are games that your fans there in Kirkland can get to see. So, you know, buy your tickets, get over there and support the Eagles. Coach Drinkwine puts together a good team. They're very entertaining, and they're always tough at home, always tough at home. Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure seeing you face-to-face, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. And every time after we get done speaking, I have to go talk to my wife to get me a new suit just to stay ahead of the game because of you. So that always helps me, too.
Hey, Coach, I'm looking ahead on your schedule. It looks like we'll spend New Year's. Oregon Tech comes up there on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So you better be dressed well for New Year's. That's all I got to say.
Well, I kind of have to be because right after that, my daughter has her wedding reception. So I better be dressed for both, I guess. Taking off and hopefully in a good mood because gotta spend the evening with
her. I won't agree
with
you on that one. I'm not going to agree with you there.
So, yeah, but it's I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's that year off was really interesting in a lot of different ways. And, you know, depending on how your perspective was with it, you could either grow from it and learn some things. And a lot of people went the other way. And it's like I said, it's just how you look at it. And I think most people are just excited to be back.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. Might try to get you on. Be nice to get you on during the season and get your perspective as the year goes on. And I look forward to seeing you face-to-face in December.
Yeah, I look forward to it, too. And, yeah, anytime, let me know. You know, I always enjoy speaking with you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again.